My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Today our guest is Arianna Del Signore. She is Managing Editor for Internal Publications. What's internal publications?
All the publications that come from the church and kind of go back towards the church. So News. And
United News is a big one. And then there are others that you'll be talking about, like the brochures that we produce and other things that come to you. Probably had Arianna's fingers on them. So she's a great editor, consultant, and friend of all of us here at the home office. The main publication is the United News that is now sent out to more non-members than members because people are interested in what the United Church of God does. So it's more than just like a newspaper or a newsletter. It's something which displays some of our content, even in like article form, which Arianna will tell us about. So Arianna, take us through the United News development process from beginning to end. Let's hear the whole story.
Sure. So basically, the process for the next United News starts about a week or two after the last United News went to press. So about 6 to 8 weeks before my like major deadline of like, okay, this is when everything must be done. I must send it to the printers and it's finished. I usually get together any content that I already have, like such as local church news, or if I have a good news article that I've been wanting to use. And then we have our content meeting. So you're in that, and as well as Darris McNeely and Peter Eddington. And those are nice because I can just talk about what I've been, like my vision for this particular issue and what I've been thinking of and the material that I have that I'm thinking about publishing. And then if there's something that you guys have heard about that you're like, oh, you know, let's publish something about this or reach out to this person, then that's always nice because we all have different jobs, so we're all in contact with different people. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way for me to see what else is going on that I might not know about. So I can reach out and get some material from people for that. And then we talk about the front page usually.
How do we choose the front page article?
Usually it's the most new or relevant information, like if we're starting a new feature or like when we were building the Beyond Today studio, the updates were usually on the front page. That was before I started working here. And like if winter camp happened or winter family weekend or something that only happens once a year, a lot of ABC News is usually on the front page. Then one of my favorite parts is the good news section. And that's
what I was going to ask you about, because the good news was the old BT. Beyond Today. And we changed the title to Beyond Today. But people said, oh, we want the good news. You know, we don't want to leave that. So we left the old logo and put it into the United News and have it more like a magazine within the United News.
Yeah. And so when we had the redesign about 2 years ago of United News, we changed the design of Good News as well, but it's still like its own section. It's always 3 to 4 pages in the center of United News. It's usually the only color part of the issue as well. And that's really exciting because that's when I really get to kind of work with writers a little bit more. Like usually people will send me local church updates or obituaries or birth announcements, and I might talk to them back about, you know, oh, you didn't give the birthday or you didn't give this. Like, let's talk about, you know, that. But good news is interesting because I'm able to kind of do a little bit more literary analysis, and I get an article, and I usually have a couple in the queue that people send me, and they're like, if you can use this, you know, here it is. And I'm like, okay, at some point I might, so stay tuned. And so it's usually good to kind of go through those, and I can pick what I want to work with the writer with. And sometimes I don't have to work with them very much. Sometimes we have a lot of back and forth. And sometimes I'll have an idea for a good news article. Like recently, 2 issues ago, I think, Clint Porter, who's a video editor, and he also does a lot of branding and design for United Church of God, he gave a sermonette in Cincinnati East like a year or two ago. It was actually 2 sermonettes. Mm-hmm. And it was about how memorizing the Bible forces you to read it very, very critically. And you get a lot more out of reading that you wouldn't normally, that you might miss normally because you're trying to remember every single word. And it makes you wonder, like, okay, why are these words exactly in this order? Like, is this specific word used? And you kind of go to the translations and sometimes do word studies. And I thought it was an interesting sermonette. So I reached out to him and I was like, hey, do you want to write an article on that? And so he wrote a really good article. And same with Micah Gunn. He has this podcast called Truth Be Told. It's a theology and apologetics podcast. Mm-hmm. And he released an episode about, I think he called it Faithful Thomas. And it was kind of similar to Clint's. It was about reading the Bible critically instead of just relying on your memory of a certain scripture or of a certain idea. And so he talked about the Apostle Thomas and how we always remember the one time that he said, unless I, you know, put my hand in Jesus' side and feel the holes in his hands and feet, I'm not going to believe that he was resurrected. And we see that as like, okay, he just doubted. But right before that, Jesus gave this whole soliloquy saying, if people come to you and they say, you know, he's in the inner rooms, go find him, don't believe them. And then the disciples come to Thomas and they're like, he's in the inner rooms. And he's like, I don't believe it. So there's sometimes a little bit more than sometimes we think about. And so I just thought that was an interesting podcast. So I reached out to Micah as well. And I said, hey, would you want to make that into an article for me? And so things like that are more exciting to me too. Not more exciting, I guess, but are interesting because I get to kind of see the mind of the writer a little bit, and I always learn. And that's honestly one of my favorite parts of this job is just that I'm always learning about what church people are doing, what congregations are doing, what people are thinking, what they're writing about.
Well, I think that the article about memorizing the scriptures, we were there in services and heard Clint give that sermonette. My wife was really wowed by it, and the article as well. Now she's memorizing all kinds of psalms, you know. She memorized 1, 2, 3, 4, and then now she's, you know, she has many of them. And she wakes up in the morning, you know, and we sit there before I go to work, and she just rolls off in another psalm. And that's Clint's work.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very, very helpful. And, of course, with Micah, we've done a podcast with him here, too. I really like the way he talks. He just is very, 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 very clear and very loquacious. You know, he speaks, you know, so well. Anyway, what more about the issue?
Yeah, so after our content meeting, I continue to basically gather material. I edit it. I organize it. I bother people if I need more information from them. We always have a letter from a council member, and so after the meeting, I'll reach out to the council member and I'll give them a deadline and ask them if they'll write. And they can write about usually whatever they want, but sometimes I give them a little bit of information about what the good news articles are about and say, hey, these are some of the themes found. If you want to kind of write about some of those themes so it can kind of be an introduction, then that might be helpful. And then we have an operation manager's update in every issue as well. So either Rick Shaby, the treasurer, will write that. You might write that.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Welch might write one, or Peter Eddington for media and communication services. So that's always nice because you get an update kind of quarterly of one different part of the operations of UCG.
Yeah, we see Ariana hovering over our offices.
Yeah.
It's time for a deadline for something to write for her.
Yeah, so that's mainly what I do during the month. And then I send the good news articles off for doctrinal review. There's a team of about, I think, 4 to 6 longtime ministers, and they basically just scan everything, check it for doctrinal accuracy. Usually if there's something that, you know, someone might just write something in a weird way, and I'm like, I know what you mean, but that sounds a little like something we don't. So I'll reach out to them, we'll work on it. But then I just send it to the doctrinal review team as well, just to make sure that there's nothing I'm missing that, you know, so we publish what we believe.
I might just add this too, is that my column for this week, you know, it's the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas, and I had giving a precious gift or something. I thought
a priceless gift. Yeah,
Ariana looked at that.
I was like, maybe the timing.
Maybe the timing is not good. It might send the wrong message. So we appreciate eagle eyes like that.
Thanks. I mean, I appreciate having a team too. So they kind of, if I miss something, I know that they'll get it, and they've been around forever. They understand the doctrines very well. And then there's layout, and basically then I have a couple more people that I'll send it to. I know I send it to you guys as well, kind of to look over the PDF before I just send it to press. And then that's it. And then I post it online.
Yeah, by the time we get the issue, it's like an old issue.
Yeah.
Already.
You're like, we talked about this like a month and a half ago, Ariana.
And it's just in the mail.
Yeah.
Do you run that whole process? You pretty much started from beginning to end of reminding us to have the meetings?
Yeah. I'm kind of just the person that comes up with the ideas of what we should publish and then kind of runs it by you guys. We agree on things, or we're like, hey, let's push that to another issue because of this or this. And then I reach out to the people needed and collect everything and organize it. And then I just edit it for style and length and consistency. I do try to stay aware of things that I hear about happening. Sometimes I'll be talking to a friend or someone and they'll mention something they did in their congregation. I'm like, that's super cool. Like, could you write about it? So over time, people might be afraid to tell me things because then I'll make them write. But I try to do as much investigative journalism as I can. It's hard because sometimes, you know, we have a global worldwide church, and sometimes people will do things and California or overseas, and I just don't know about them, so I don't know to publish them. So I try to publish everything I can that really just shows the members doing things, because that's kind of my personal vision for, and not to like get ahead of myself, but when we did the redesign of United News about 2 years ago, it kind of forced me to stop and look at, like, what was my goal for this? Am I just taking the news that people send me and I'm just publishing it? Or do I have a specific vision for what I want to bring to this magazine? And kind of what I came up with was that in publishing news, I'm not just showing people what's happening in the church, right? Like, that's definitely a part of it. But it's also encouraging other people to pick things up and to do things. There was, in Lexington, Kentucky, there was a man who, he would get extra copies of Beyond Today, and he set up this little newsstand, and he got permission with, either he got permission with, like, a jewelry store owner, or maybe he owned the store, I can't remember, and he just started doing that on his own. I'm like, that, I want to write about that, because people can do that. Like, it's not just the church that needs to preach the gospel. It's if you're having conversations with people, and you end up starting some sort of low-key informal Bible study group in your community, or you're serving in some way, you're helping like less fortunate people in the community. Like, let's talk about that, because other people read about that and they say, hey, they're doing that in Arkansas, I want to do that in Montana, you know. And so that's really my vision, is to connect people and show what other people are doing so that you can feel empowered to do the same and get ideas, so that we can be a really active church on an individual level as well.
Well, that's a good way to share ideas with the church, instead of telling them to write to us at the home office in MMS, Ministerial Member Services, and then writing a formal article, but show it in a lighter way, or maybe a more graphic way in the United News, and people say, hey, look at what they're doing here. I know that there are some churches that are doing innovative Bible studies for children, you know, journaling. I know that one of my friends in the ministry has a very, very active program of buying these Bibles with huge margins so that the kids can feel free to draw in the margins, you know, as they hear stories being told. And so it impresses the words along with their input in that way. And I've just been very, very impressed. We're going to be writing about that in the e-news here pretty soon. But I'm just saying is that sharing ideas like that, where people can be caught up with the imagination and then want to put it to practice.
Yeah, I think it's so important. You can tell people, like, hey, make this yours. You know, obviously more than your calling is yours, but like, make preaching the gospel, make serving the people in your congregation yours, but then giving them examples of what that can look like. Yeah.
Some people learn best not by having a list of instructions, but by seeing what other people do and say, I want to do that too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm that way. Like, I publish all these things and I'm like, okay, I have so many ideas now. This is so cool.
What other publications do you have? I know that you come with me with, it's time for a letter for the Camp magazine, for the Feast magazine, and for other things. What other things do you do that are kind of a big-time operation?
I think the second biggest thing that I do is a lot of Feast stuff. So I work with Charles Malier, and he'll send me all the housing information for all the U.S. Feast sites, and then the coordinators will send me all the information for their Feast sites, like the description. And so I compile all of that, and I put it in the festival brochure, and then also for international sites as well. And then basically what they send me that I publish in that brochure, I post online and then create all the Feast sites and schedule registration and open registration on the day that it needs to happen. So a lot of that is just communicating with people and saying, especially the international sites, because they might need to open registration different times, and they might have their information way before the U.S. sites are ready to send it, or they might be like up against the wire and I'm just about to publish and I'm like, all right, I need some information. So yeah, that's a lot of just communicating with people and gathering information and then publishing it so that people can register for the Feast. And and so that's a really exciting part of my job. Yeah, it's really cool just making it, kind of helping make it possible for people, and seeing, like, when I get all the list of Feast sites, I get so excited. And so that's more technical, I guess, because there's a lot of, like, prices and housing and these accommodations and, you know, this has an AC in the unit and all that kind of stuff. So that's a little bit more technical, but it's very exciting because it's for an exciting event.
Well, I know that the Feasts all vary around the world as far as all the things involved with them, and you have a good sense of what's what, you know, because there are some Feast sites that are very small, 25, 30 people, to our mega sites, our what we call Feastopolises.
Yeah, and that's been the hardest with COVID, because a lot of the Feast sites that usually were just like always a Feast site, especially around the world, have kind of become like these small satellite Bible study groups. So sometimes they don't send me any, like, I publish the Feast reports in the United News afterward as well, and sometimes they don't send me anything because they're like, well, we're not a Feast site, we were just like three families that got together and watched the webcast and tried to make it the Feast in a different type of way than maybe we had in the past. And so that's been hard, kind of knowing who was keeping the feast where and being able to, like, quote numbers. And that's why in the back page of United News this past, or a couple issues ago after the feast, I put the number, it was like 9,400 something of people that I knew kept the feast in person, but I know there are so many more that were keeping it in smaller groups that, that had to because of COVID or because of travel restrictions.
Well, one more thing, one more feature that I'd like to comment on. We have started on the back page of the United News an article about finances. It's part of our planned giving program, which isn't about money per se, as far as, you know, send us money, you know, that's not the focus of it, but it's helping people with financial matters. And for example, this issue, the past issue, was getting out of debt. And then other issues are about how to, you know, prepare a will and, you know, how to handle other financial things. And we have really appreciated how you have placed that and worked with Howard Marchbanks, who was our main author for those articles.
Yeah, no problem. I always wonder if maybe we should call it financial stewardship, because it is they are kind of following that idea of, like, let's try to help people with financial stewardship. And I know I've learned a lot just from reading them.
Well, what is it called now?
Planned Giving.
Oh, Planned Giving. Oh, I think we should change it to that. I'll talk to Howard during the next Planned Giving meeting.
Okay.
But financial stewardship, I think that's very, very good. So, okay, the festival brochure, and I know that there's a lot of work in there because a lot of variables. But then the camp. What do we do for camp?
So I work primarily with the Camp magazine, and it's kind of the same process where I just gather information about each of the camps, where they're going to be held, the dates, the prices, the age range for preteen and teen camps. We have a meeting in like October, November every year with all the camp directors where they come up with a theme for the following year, and then they talk, they kind of flesh out the theme for this coming year. And I basically just give a presentation saying, hey, these are the camps, here's your word count. Here's when I'll be nagging you for here's a deadline for things. I might think about a couple articles to have about the theme for the camp or for first-time campers, and then assign those articles to people. And then as they send those to me, I collect them and edit them and then put them into the camp magazine. And that's a fun job as well, because that's a lot more creative because it's for the teens. I was going to say later, like, one of my favorite parts of United News is layout. I'm always like super busy because I'm close to press time when I'm actually doing it, but it is so I don't always have a lot of time to enjoy the process at that point. But I do like layout because it's like you just have all this information and a couple photos and you have a blank page and you get to figure out how it fits and like make it look right. And that's exciting in United News, but it's very technical and kind of clinical, which is fine. You know, it's a newspaper. But for the Camp magazine, it can be a lot more fun because we have like the badges that Matt Hernandez designs as a graphic designer. And we always have a theme that we kind of make into a fun graphic theme. And so that's a lot more creative. I think it's the most creative thing I do. So that whole process is fun, and it's camp. So camp's great.
So besides the Camp magazine and the Festival magazine and the United News, what else do you do with internal publications?
Those are kind of my main responsibilities. I mean, I think part of working for a nonprofit is that everyone wears a lot of hats. Like, if you find that you're good at something or you have a niche for something, you'll end up doing a couple different things for that. So I have other responsibilities, but those are kind of, I guess, my main things. I also put together the family study guides, I guess I'll mention. And so about once a month, I'll receive a lesson plan, basically, for a family study guide. And then I kind of make that look nice in layout.
That's in Deuteronomy 6?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so those are cool. Right now, we're working on the creation series. We're kind of re-updating that from a couple years ago. So that's fun because it's another different type of layout because it's for little younger kids. And that's fun to work with the Schreibers on that.
So what part of the work did you consider to be the most fun? I think you kind of mentioned that maybe final layout, but tell us about some of the real fun stuff that you do. And also with interactions with people, with all of us here.
Yeah. So obviously, like I said, layout is super fun, but I'm usually rushing a little bit by the time I get to that. But yeah, just having the community kind of that I've built with this job, like I have to be in contact with so many people for all the different, like every article I get has a contact. And so I have to talk to that person. And sometimes it's just like, oh, thanks for sending this to me. Sometimes it's a little more involved. And so across all the publications, I just feel like there are so many people that I've met virtually or had to work with. That's just been really cool kind of broadening that. But one thing that I think is really special about United News specifically, and it's not something I would have expected, but I took a death and dying class in college, and I know this is so, this, you don't know where I'm going with this.
We're talking about fun stuff.
Okay. I know. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fun, but it's meaningful, and it might be my favorite, so that's kind of why I thought of it. But yeah, I took this death and dying class in college, and we went to this funeral home, and the funeral home director, he was talking about how a lot of people think what he does is kind of gross and weird, and like you deal with like dead bodies, and that's so, ugh. But he felt that it was a huge honor to be able to show respect to someone in this last final way and to present them to their loved ones to say goodbye to. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so interesting. And it just kind of, you know, was in the back of my mind. I didn't really dwell on it after that. But then I started this job, and I found one of the most meaningful parts of this is reading the obituaries, because a lot of times, like, you see so much about a person's life, and you can tell sometimes that the person that wrote it is really grieving, and like that's almost part of their grieving process. And I've worked with people who are like, how, like, this is my husband, this is my wife, like that's my person, like I'm really struggling to fit their entire life and what they meant to me and their whole legacy to our children, to our community, our congregation, to myself, into like 500 words for a United News article. Like, how can I do that? And it's really just showed me a lot of empathy for people who are grieving and who have gone through that, and communicating with them and talking to them about the person that has died that they're trying to respect and honor by publishing like a summary of their life, kind of, which is so, like, you can't do that. You can't summarize an entire person's life in a little obituary. But the process, I think, has been really healing for some of the people that I've worked with. And honestly, not an issue goes by that I don't tear up at some one or two obituaries, because you just learn so much about people. And it just makes me realize, like, there, especially with older people, there are so many, like, elderly people who are just quiet little rock stars living out their life. And I didn't even know, because I didn't know them when they were 20, 30, 40, and they were doing all these things. And then you read their obituary and you're like, they were so cool. I want to be their best friend.
Uh-huh.
And so that's just been so interesting to me to see that, and to read about people's life and to see how they've affected people, and to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And there's almost always something about how the people who wrote the obituary are so excited that as much as they're grieving, they know that this person is good. Like, they're sealed. They're ready for the resurrection, and they're safe now, kind of.
Which there have been a lot of here lately. Here, yeah. You know, a lot of sad departures from people that have left with, in our COVID time, and age demographic in the church, and you know other factors.
And so, I think too, we do tend to have more obituaries than births or weddings or something, because I think it seemed to me that when someone dies, that's a way of showing them respect and publishing something about them and writing something about them. And like I said, that can be a way of grieving. There's definitely been obituaries where I can see that is them processing their experience with this person. But when someone's born, you're busy with the baby, you're just trying to survive. So I think less people
lengthen wait.
yeah but sometimes, like, I have a lot of friends who have had kids and they don't send anything in because they're just at that point trying to, you know, get through the newborn phase. So I think that is why we have a lot more obituaries than births. I don't know that that's always a reflection of what's happening in the church. I just think it's what people send in, if that makes sense.
Yeah Well, Ariana, what else can you tell us about? Anything else you wanted to say?
I don't know. That's kind of my experience. Yeah, I felt very blessed in this position. I went to college and I loved editing and literary analysis, and I was an English major and I was a super nerd, and I was like, I hope I can make a career out of this. I don't know. And I went to ABC and was an intern here and got to know everyone in like professional ways upstairs, since I was like downstairs in ABC. And so it was really cool, like, after ABC, when I started working here.
As an intern, where did you work with the publications?
No, actually, I was under Tom Disher at the time. He's not here anymore, but he was
web.
Yeah, he was like the web programmer, I guess, coder. And
yeah.
So I did website
Drupal
editing.
Yeah.
So I published at the time. We had the whole Beyond Today Bible commentary. It was known as the Bible reading program still.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all these PDFs and documents, and we were trying to migrate them to the new site so that they were web pages. And it wasn't hard to do. It was just a lot of work. So they hired me as an intern to basically do that whole thing. So they already had, like, my resume. They already knew, like, that I was an editing nerd. And so it kind of was a smooth transition once I started training for this job.
Well, she's always on the mark as far as putting stuff up on the web. You know, she puts up the things that we publish from the e-news, and it's up there right away on the same day, you know, for the updates, and we just always know we can rely on Ariana. She's always, always very, very right there with you. Well, we have really enjoyed talking to you, Ariana. She is the, once again, managing editor of internal publications here at the United Church of God. And we've enjoyed just being with her in the office and talking to her, and we have just a regular contact with her. So thank you very much for being with us,
Ariana. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And I want to thank our audience for listening to our podcast today. Make sure that you tell your friends about our podcast, which we release usually every Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to write to us, you can write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. Go to the main menu line and click or tap on podcast. Also, you can find us through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app, and also we're on Spotify. So thank you very much. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.